In a world full of shadows and uncertainty, there is one source of light that never fades. God is the source of all hope, the light that guides us through the darkest moments. And in Jesus, that light shines brighter than ever. He is the way, the truth, and the life, lighting our path, healing our hearts, and filling us with peace. His light is always with you, and it will never go out. Ever since he spoke the words, "Let there be light."
Yeah. Yes. How's everybody today? Woo! Is it cold outside? Is it warm in here? Some of y'all are like, woo, it's warm up in here. I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's awesome to be together with you guys. Let's welcome all of our new people we have in the room again. All the way across this room, there are new people. Hey, can we welcome our online folks? Hello, everybody. We're glad you're here. Glad you're here. It's good to be together. Hey, I want to give you one little bit of information before we get started. That is that Baptism Sunday is next Sunday. And so if you want, there's a sign-up sheet somewhere. Is it on the back there, brother? On the back here. Please go by and sign up so we know you're coming to do that. We're going to warm it up. And I'm going to tell you, I have to tell you this, Baptism Sunday is actually today, too, because we had one person show up today ready, and they said, "I'm ready today." And I said, "The water is ice cold." And she said, "I don't care. I'm ready today." So after service, we're going to have baptism service today, too. Man, I'm telling you, every day is baptism day. If you need water baptism, you call us and we will make it happen, all right? So can't guarantee you warm water, but we can guarantee you water, all right? I love you guys. Have I told you much I love you lately? If I told you that lately? If I hadn't, I love you. Have I told you I hate snow? I'm just making sure. It's not going to snow anymore. It's all going to be good. But, no, we missed a lot of folks last week. But I'm telling you, Emily did a great job. Praise the Lord. Didn't she do good? Good job, good job, good job. And it's your breath in our lungs, Lord. So we pour out a praise to you only, Lord. It's only him. It's all about just him. It really has nothing to do with me or us or you guys. It's really all soaking our life up in who Jesus Christ is. Now, I'm going to say some things today that's going to be a little bit on the deeper side of stuff. When it comes from Scripture, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 2. In your Bible, that's just a few books over. It's Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, right in there, right the sixth book. I don't remember my numbers very well, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. It's the seventh book of the New Testament. And we assume all the time when we start throwing out Bible names that everybody knows what we're talking about. But for folks online, maybe some of you in here, I want you to know it's right there in the New Testament. And we're going to throw out something to you today. I think it's going to be a blessing to your life. And it all has to do with breath. Breath. We started a series 2 weeks ago, today's lesson three. We started talking about God as the source of light. Emily last week talked about Jesus. He is the light. He's the light of the world. He said he was going to be that, and he is that. Right now, he's the light of the world. And just because a lot of people don't see him as that doesn't make him not that, okay? The glare on these glasses are killing me, so I may not be able to read my notes, but that's all right. So today is Holy Spirit. The inspiration, the light of inspiration. When I say the word, everybody say inspiration. You can hear the air in the word, right? It's like it's almost like it comes out of the word respiration. You hear this breath even in the word itself. People write books from inspiration. People write songs from inspiration. People preach and teach from inspiration. The Bible is written from inspiration. And it all is really seated in God. And we were talking to somebody this week, and they were talking about how music touches their life in every way. And it's that way for most of us. At some level, what your music may be way different from what I listen to all the time, but music itself is kind of a universal language. I heard this little Hispanic girl this week just laughing. So hard. Now, if she starts talking, I can't understand her. I don't know a word she's saying. But when she started laughing, I thought, that's a universal language. That's joy and happiness in that child's heart. You don't need a language for that. Inspiration is poured out of those. You may send your love a text of love. We're coming up on the love month. You may send, I just love you so much. That comes out of inspiration. I care about you. That's inspiration. All of that comes out of a place in our hearts. And in Scripture, there are two words, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, for spirit. Or this breath of God. And the Old Testament word is ruach, And you got to say it with that kernel of corn in the back of your mouth. You got those Hebrew words. You got almost like you're working up a hocker if you're in this for the side. Ha! You know, I just did one. Did you say that? It's this ruach word, and it's breath. The word itself sounds breathy, doesn't it? Now, the New Testament word doesn't sound breathy, but it's all about breath and wind. It's the word pneuma. We would say pneuma. I think they actually pronounce the P in Greek, so it's pneuma. It's where we get our word pneumonia from. So if it's blocking the air, if something's blocking air, that's you got pneumonia. So this idea of pneuma is breath. Everybody say ruach. Look at your neighbor and say ruach. I love it. Don't spit on nobody. And then look at your neighbor and say pneuma. Pneuma. That's the Greek word for spirit. Spirit, the word spirit is kind of a made-up word. The old King James Bible written in 1611, then they used the word ghost. And we don't use that word now. We don't want to be enough about no ghosts or anything like that. That's eerie and weird. But spirit is still an eerie, almost unseeable, unfeelable word. It's like, what do we do with that? Nicodemus and Jesus had a conversation, and Jesus told him, he said, the spirit is like the wind. You see the results of it, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with the spirit. Paul said in another book of the Bible, he said, the word of God is God-breathed. God-breathed. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. I spoke a few weeks ago on the Exodus story where they came out, they got to the Red Sea, and God blew the wind. He opened the Red Sea and blew wind on it all night long to dry it up so they could walk through on dry ground. Jesus gave peace to his troubled disciples at the end, near the end of his life, when they were all upset because he was going to die. And the Bible says he breathed on them and gave them Holy Spirit. They received Holy Spirit. And, of course, the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that's the book of the Bible right after the good news about Jesus. They tell about Jesus, and then the whole book of Acts is a whole book written on the move of the Holy Spirit and what he does in the lives of the people around him. And so that in Acts 2, we see all the people in the upper room, and the wind comes through. This great rushing, it sounded like the rushing of a mighty wind. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so all this emanates out of God's breath. God's breath. Can I ask you a question? What inspires you? What gets you ready for the day? What, we say, rocks your world? What moves you to go from I'm not doing anything to I'm about to do something? What gets you on the edge of your seat? What makes you rock forward and go, hey, you know what? I'm gonna do something about this. Whatever that is, if you filled in the blank with almost any, I'd say anything other than Jesus and things about Jesus, then probably our blank needs to be refilled about some things. Nothing wrong with good things. I get inspired at a great song. I get inspired when I hear good preach. I get inspired in a lot of different ways. I know when I walk in the room at the house, Liz immediately goes into inspiration because she goes like this. If she's sitting down and I walk in the house, she goes, oh, it's Keith. He is home. My life is complete. And I'm kidding. She doesn't do that. She's over there rolling her eyes now. But I used to say that about teenagers. What would happen if you're a teenager and you walk into the house and your mom and dad are there, maybe they're home, and you walk in and you say, Mom, Dad, it's so good to be. I'm in your presence. It's amazing. Hither I have been low in the world today in school and have beat my brains out with stuff, but I'm home with you now. Most parents would say, excuse me, what have you been drinking or smoking or doing? What's going on? Something's happening. But the idea of that, this idea of what are you looking for? I made a little bit of fun with that, but I want you to answer the question. What are you looking for? And then the next question may be like, what are you doing to get to that point? You want to write a book? What are you doing? Are you writing anything? You want to learn an instrument? Are you learning? You want to serve in kingdom. Today is step 3 of impact. Come on, y'all. Tonight, step 3 of impact. If you don't know what impact is, at 5 o'clock today, come and see. We're going to be here talking about how that people who've been walking through a process can get on a team. They've been inspired. They know their gifts, their spiritual gifts. They know kind of what they are personality-wise, and now they're going to get on a team and begin to move. Matthew West wrote a song called Do Something. And the psalm basically looks at God and says, God, what are you going to do about the world? What are you going to do about all this mess down here? Lord, what are you going to do? He said, I did something. I sent you. Love that thought. I love that thought. And at every moment of our lives, we have to be asking this question, why am I here? What am I doing? I'm not saying we got to freak out about it and all those things. Don't take this further than I'm trying to mean for it to be. But where do you spend your most time, the most energy in your life? Where does your money go? Where does your conversation go? Where do you focus your mind on TV and movies and those? Where is your focus? You know, I've been doing this now for almost 40 years, right at 40 years, and preaching and teaching and youth ministry and all these things. I've been doing all this stuff. And doing it in the North Alabama area all of my life. I moved to Texas for about a year, but we didn't stay there very long. Came right back to North Alabama. In this area, yo, it's almost like we've got so many options that we miss what's right in front of us. And we grope around trying to figure out, how am I going to live life? What am I going to do today? My situation is this, and all of those things. And this idea of trying to feel your way in the dark, you're going to either get a stumped toe, you're going to trip over something. Something's going to happen, and you need to illuminate your life. I wrote this sentence, and I wanted to put it on the screen. It's this. It didn't get to your notes, I don't think, but it's on screen. Worldly enlightenment always leads away from God. Now, put the word always there, because I don't care what kind of enlightenment that's out there that exits Jesus out of the world, but it always leads you to the wrong place, and it always leads you away from God. The Holy Spirit enlightenment will do nothing. It always, his influence, his purpose, his focus is always going to be to point us to Jesus, and really nothing else. And we get really all, when we start talking about Holy Spirit, oh no, what's he going to talk about today? So I'm going to tell you something. I have people ask this all the time. Where are we going with the Holy Spirit thing? What are we going to do next with Holy Spirit? I don't know. If you asked me that 20 years ago, none of this would exist. I couldn't have done it 20 years ago because my mindset was not open to the things of the Spirit. And what I'm going to ask us to do today is to get out of insanity. Insanity, y'all know the definition, right? It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different. I talked to a great philosopher this week. He came by my office and sat for a little bit. His name is Todd Shelton. And yeah, y'all laugh about it. Todd, I hope you're listening, brother. They're out of town today. But Todd came by my office. We were talking about these things. And I don't know how much you've spent time with Todd Shelton or not, but Todd Shelton is not, he's so very smart and wise about so many different things. And he shepherds people all the time. And he does me that way. And I was telling him, I was going over my message with him, which he wasn't going to be here, so I thought he needed to get it, you know. But anyway, so I'm going over this, and he brought this in my mind. And it's so simple, and I want you to get this. Listen, if you only change what you do in life to get different results, how long does that ever last for you? I mean, really, January has started. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many have already blown your diet? We're into the last week of 21 days of fasting and prayer. How many of you have already blown the fast? You just couldn't stand it anymore. You had to have that little tiny bite of chocolate and God would forgive you. On and on, these ideas, what happens with that is if I don't change something more than just what I do, I will always default back to what is comfortable. Always. People do it in church. We've had people come in and out of our church here, and they see kind of our worship is wide open, and you're free to express yourself and all those things. Not to us, not to people around you, but to God. And it's something they thought they might want to be a part of, and they get in it, and it's just like, I can't handle this, and they go right back to the church they came from, or the right back to the place they came from, or right back in the muck and mire of life. Why? Because that's default comfortable mode. And I want to tell you something about my God that I have found to be true. That if you are comfortable and you are going to follow Jesus Christ, you're not going to stay there long. And if you do stay there long, come on, man, you're not growing. And I want. So what do we got to do? We got. It's not just about changing what we do. By the way, it's good to change what you do. Sometimes you need to change what you do. I'm reading a book now called Necessary Endings. There are some things in my life that need to come to a stop. Not just for 21 days, but they need to come to a stop on and on and on, okay? Let's just be honest about that. So how am I going to fix that? I'm a fixer. So what am I going to do? What's the answer? The answer is, and here's what Todd said. He said, you change what you do. You can do that for a little while. I can do it for a couple of weeks. I might do it for a month. But somewhere down the road, that thing's going to pop up on your screen again. You're going to be led down the road to this. Or that food's going to be put in your face, or that drink, or that thought, or that school, or that person, or whatever. You keep defaulting back to that same person that's dragging you down. And the reason you do is because it's comfortable. I know that. It's comfortable. So what do? You have to change the way you think about it. I have to change the way I think about it. I have to completely remove the paradigm in my life that's supporting everything about what I am and who I am. And I have to completely revamp that. Because when I revamp that, what I do is going to change, and therefore the results of what I do is going to change. Y'all see that? And Todd told me that, and I was like, dude, I kind of knew that. But, well, the way you put that, it's just like it fits so well with what we're going to talk about today. So the wind of the Spirit gives us life. He gives us breath. By the way, the Spirit is not an it. Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. He's a part of the Godhead. He is just as much God as God is or Jesus is. He is God. And Francis Chan wrote a book called The Forgotten God, because we don't know, like, I don't know how to deal with the Spirit. God, I can figure out. He's a Father. Jesus walked on the earth. We got that. But this Holy Spirit, dude, I don't know what to do with him. And most of us, like, not most of us, many, if you were like me, you just said, well, I can't handle it, so I just cast it all out. And we created an entire theology. Come on, guys. You guys who are in my heritage, y'all know we created an entire theology around the fact that the Holy Spirit stopped doing anything except writing the Word. And if we knew the Word, then we had the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, y'all, we were wrong. And not only wrong, but can I just share with you real quick that we were ripped off. And it wasn't anything anybody did on purpose. It was the things that people did because of a skewed way of seeing Scripture. And I'm going to tell you something. You guys on the other side, and I know you're in here, some of you. You guys on the other side have missed it in some ways too. And somewhere in the middle is my God. And I'm going to tell you something. I love y'all with all my heart. I love to do what I do, and I pray I get to do it a long, long, long time. But I don't love you like I love my God. And you shouldn't love me any more than you love God. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm human. I let you down. It's not going to work that way. Man. All right. Introduction's over. Let's preach. What is it about this wind, even though we can't explain him, that we know we experience, that his presence is here? What is it about all of that stuff? Well, in 1 Corinthians, I've been wanting to preach 1 Corinthians 2 for so long, and this is where it's going to land. So here we go with some scripture, okay? We're going to learn how to be the light from a spiritual perspective. Everybody say, I'm spiritual. You're spiritual. You say, no, I'm not. I'm physical. That hurt. I'm a spirit. You are spiritual. In fact, I've come to believe that most everything that happens to us is connected to the spiritual. It really is. It really is. It comes from the fall and leaving the Spirit of God. And all the bad stuff that comes out of all of that, it's not spiritual in a great sense because I don't want to experience it. But, man, another message for another time. 1 Corinthians is a tough passage on the surface. It's going to go deep. But I want you to see four spiritual truths real quick. And the first one is this, that if you and I are going to live by the inspiration of the Spirit, we have to forget everything except Jesus. You guys who came in, when you came in today, you should have gotten some sermon notes inside your little worship guide. And also, you can go online and do that as well at our website. You can fill your notes in there and have them email them to you or whatever. DiscoveryAL.church if you want to go there. Paul says you got to forget everything. He says, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus, the one who was crucified. There were a lot of Jesuses in that. You remember the guy that was crucified and came up out of the grave? That's who he's talking about. He said, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not human wisdom, but the power of God. If we want to get to the point of light and life in ourselves, we start by forgetting everything except Jesus. And the way I take that to mean is this. I take that to mean that Jesus has to permeate the top of everything in my life. It's got to be on the top of my marriage. He's got to be on the top of my school. He's got to be, if whatever you're considering for your life, you consider how does Jesus fit in this. You don't fit him into your life. You say, how does my life fit into what I'm doing for him? Did y'all see, hear me change that real quick? I almost said that wrong. So we kind of just say, well, Lord, I'm going to be this, and I hope you fit in. We do it with church. I'm going to do this. I hope church can get in there somewhere. We do it with small group season. We say it with small groups, but I don't have time for small groups. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have to make time for those things. What is permeating your life? Where are you putting your priorities? That's where this is. And I think what he said, forgetting everything except Christ, then he said that it guided his speech. It guided his everything he did. Our hearts, our work, our play, our conversation, our thoughts, and I could go on, and your music, your movies, your everything is dictated by, from the top down, Jesus. Number two, we have to know, not just know about Christ, but we have to know that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Paul said, yet when I was among you, mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Paul says, I have to get deep with you guys sometimes, but I can't do that with people unless they're spiritually mature. It's almost like when you're training somebody for work and they should already have been to that point by now and you're a little frustrated because they're not focusing, they're not concentrating, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Paul is saying there are people that need to be already mature, but you're just not there. So many Christians became a believer, I was talking to Davina today, the idea of baptism is not just getting a ceremony done so I can have a fresh start on life. It's not just that. It is much deeper than that. It is proclaiming the lordship of Christ in my life. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not going to get there too fast. But this idea, what is this wisdom Paul is talking about in here? What is this wisdom he's thinking about? He goes on to say, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. Everybody likes a good mystery, right? Mystery of God. He says his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. In other words, God had this plan before he ever said, let there be light. And the plan was Jesus, but it was hidden from people for a long time. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see hints and prophecies and things about the Messiah, about Christ, but you don't see him until he comes into the world. And he said it was coming, but it was hidden. But the rulers of this world would not have understood it. If they had, they would have. I'm sorry, I'm losing myself. I need to see this better. But when I look up at y'all, I want to see y'all too. Oh, those letters are big. If they had, they would not have crucified Christ. You said, well, wait a minute, Jesus had to be crucified and resurrected for me to be here. But I'm going to tell you something. There were some people during that time when Jesus was crucified who would say, no, wait a minute, you're killing Messiah. We don't understand it, but he's Lord. They understood some of those things, but the people who didn't understand it, their minds were blinded because of the world. They didn't see it. They didn't understand it, and therefore they said, crucify him, crucify him. Maybe they didn't want to see it. I don't know. He goes on to say, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. When you read that text, and I guarantee you at some point in your life you've heard that text preached, is that means heaven. That no eye has seen heaven, no ear has heard about heaven, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for them in heaven. That's not what this Bible verse is talking about at all. And when you see this, I hope it excites you like it does me. The idea that heaven is great, and there's other passages on that, and you can read about that. But Paul is saying, listen to me, it's simple. It is Jesus saves. The mystery is, forget everything but Christ. Why? Because Jesus saves. That's the mystery that has been revealed. And you're sitting here 2,000 years later on saying, well, man, we hear this all the time. We know this. What do you mean Jesus saves? We got that. We get this. When Paul was writing this, there were a lot of people who didn't get it and didn't understand it. And they were wondering, what is this mystery you're talking about? And Paul just lays it out. It's the great plan that God made for you before he ever said, let there be light. He loved you. Can you just say out loud real quick that God loves me? I wonder if you really believe that. When you say those words, it's easy sometimes when things are going great and fine and wonderful, and when things go bad or south or sour. So does God? You say it with God loves me, and I get this. Paul is saying, if you could understand what the mystery is really all about, that Jesus saves and he used to be in your life. I wrote a few sentences here. I hope this connects with you. The message he's talking about, he says, God's prepared for those who love him. But he said, before you love Christ, you don't have those eyes. You can't see with those eyes or hear with those ears. No ordinary human eyes have seen the revelation that God in the person of Jesus Christ. Y'all, we have a world of people all around us every day who don't see Jesus as Lord. They see him as a problem, or they see him as a myth, or they see him as a joke, or they see him as a dirty word. Jesus Christ. People say that all the time. They're not pronouncing Christ. We get appalled as Christians at those words, using the words God damned somebody. God's not in the damnation world. God's not even in the damning business. He's in the saving business. So when you say that or you hear it spoken, the reason it repulses you is because you know that the person who said it, Jesus died for. That's the mystery. It's revealed. And you know it. You've got the answer. You've got the answer right in front of you. I hope you can catch just how much passion there is in me trying to tell you this stuff. I want you to get it. No ears without the light of Jesus have heard and received the truth that the gospel message of salvation that is right here amongst you. No mind without the light of Jesus can perceive the mysteries of God, for they are beyond human thinking. What does that mean? What is this mystery hidden? Well, the mystery hidden is revealed, and it's Jesus. And when you get Jesus in your life, you begin this walk. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a lifelong process. And you're going to get deeper and deeper and more in love and more amazed and all those things. And when something comes into your life that you don't understand why it's there, you're going to have him to stand on. And he's going to hold you up. Why do some get it and some do not get it? I'm going to tell you something. Here's the demarcation and where the lesson kind of takes a turn. It's going to be hard to get it unless you have a help. You need a helper. You need a helper. We're about to start small groups, and some are Bible study groups. Like the one I'm going to get in is a Bible study group about the end times. I don't even agree with the author, and we're going to go in here and we're going to talk about this stuff because it doesn't matter to me how Jesus comes back. I just want to be on his team when he does. I'm a pan-millennialist. It's just going to pan out, and I'm going to be there when God's here. It's just, that's what's going to happen. But I'm excited. I'm excited about being in Diane's group and learning and studying through this stuff and trying to learn and to grow more. But listen, we have to start hearing what Holy Spirit is telling us. When I've started this study, it's so many passages that all connect right back to Holy Spirit. It's uncanny how many times he's talked about in the Word. And we just kind of walk, read over them. It's just da-da-da-da-da-da. Listen, the next thing you have to do, first of all, forget everything but Christ. Know that Jesus is the answer. He is salvation. And number three, listen to Holy Spirit. Listen to Holy Spirit. By the way, you notice I take the out of the front of that. I think I did on screen. Because I think that's part of the problem with Holy Spirit. We call him the Holy Spirit. We don't say the Jesus Christ. I don't say the Philip Presley. Well, I do sometimes. But I'm really all of it. Yeah, I'm not talking about just any Philip. I'm talking about the Philip Presley, all right? But we don't refer to him. Holy Spirit. It's him. It's who he is. Bible says when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Spiritual truth. And by the way, if some of this stuff is like, well, I don't know what he's talking about, I want to tell you it's okay. It is all right. This is much deeper than I usually go in preaching. And by the way, you guys who are much smarter than me, you correct me if I'm wrong on this stuff. I just want to see the context of this text and what it's trying to get me to know and to understand about who God is. He says, but when people aren't spiritual, can't receive these truths from God's Spirit, it all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Can I give you an example of what I want to give you an example of what I think he's trying to point to here is when Jesus says, if you want to be greatest, you have to be what? Least. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, then be servant. Tonight at 6, all the dream team are supposed to be here. By the way, if you're serving on a team at all, you need to be here at 6 o'clock tonight, right after Impact. And if you're part of Impact and you become a part of the team today, you need to stay another hour and a half. We're going to be here for a little while. But I want you to understand, we're going to reveal something that's going to help our church understand some of these things. But my point is that we took that pyramid. There is no pyramid here. If it is, it's upside down. Because every leader in this church understands that I'm not here to be over you. I'm here to be serving you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to support you. And if we see it as anything else, then we've missed the boat with what Jesus says about servanthood. I think it's why church works well. It's because when you decide that it's not about you, it's about everybody else, then all of a sudden the pressure is taken off, right? You get your feelings hurt, you deal with that, you understand that, and then you walk forward understanding that I'm here just to serve. It's not about me. So, what if that's you? You say, I'm not spiritual. I'm just lost to myself. I guess I don't have a chance. If it's got to know all this stuff, No, that's not what I'm saying at all. You need to just back up and reverse and don't listen to the enemy in that. Because this stuff is deep to you, understand that you have the ability to know the same things that anybody else in this room have the ability to know. I didn't believe that growing up in church. I thought all the old guys with the gray hair, they're the ones that had it all together. They didn't struggle with sin anymore. They'd gotten all that past them, and they were now old, and they were just living out life. Well, now I am one of them. So what do you want to do? Remember what I said at the beginning of the message? What do you want? Where do you want to spend your time and effort in this? Be filled with the Spirit. If Jesus sounds foolish to you, don't give up. Don't walk away. It's okay, God, if I'm supposed to understand this, I need some revelation here. What's going on? And he's going to do that. He's going to open your heart to him. He's going to open your heart to his word that he wrote. Become a wordsmith. Some of you hate words. You don't want to talk about words. You don't want to do about grammar and sentence structure and all that. You don't have to do all that. Just read. Let the word work in you. Listen to godly things and godly influences in your life. And ultimately, you have to do what the last thing is, and that is you have to change your mind. I have to change my mind. And when I say change our mind in this, Paul says it this way. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can know enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Say that last phrase with me. We have the mind of Christ. And I'm not talking about changing your mind like, let's see, we're going to have pizza for lunch today or we're going to have hamburgers. I know that's like breaking a cardinal rule to talk about food while you're preaching. You know, it's not asking, do you want Pepsi or Coke? And you have to change your mind because they don't have Coke products in that place. They don't know what real, you know, soft drinks are about. And they have Pepsi, and you go, phew. Or the opposite. I'm not talking about those kind of changing of your mind. We're talking about transformation. We're talking about an overhaul of the soul. It's literally changing the intellect that's inside of your brain. Remember the first thing I talked about today is if you're going to change what you do to get different results, you've got to change what's in your mind. And that's what every aspect of coming to Christ is all about. If you want to believe, if you've never believed and you want to believe today, then Jesus says all you have to do is believe. Confess he is Lord and believe. And baptism is just... it's just water, but it's literally this idea of burying the old person and bringing up the new person so they can serve Christ. It's a picture of something that happens on the inside. Nothing special about the water or the tub or the person doing the baptizing. It's simply a change of heart. It's making real change in how we think and not just making a decision. We can have 500 decisions for Christ on any given week. If we had that many people in here, we'd have that. We could have all those decisions for Christ. But if it's not changing who you are and how you think and what you watch and how you act and how you talk and how you husband, how you wife, how you child, how you nephew, how you niece, how you preach, if it's not changing anything, then you've done nothing. Come on, y'all. I want to wake you up today to something that's so exciting inside of me. I can face anything in the name of Jesus. And not worry about the outcome. Do I worry about? Absolutely, I think about the outcome. Do I want this? Absolutely, I want this. But I want to surrender. Somebody said, how can I pray for you, Keith? You can pray for me to help me be the light and to live while I'm living. To be Jesus while I'm alive. To treat this woman better than she's ever been treated. To treat my kids with respect and show them as they grow up. Raise these grandkids around me and teach them about Christ. And it's so cool on prayer mornings. The kids come, some of them, and I sit back here and they'll run back to me and get in my lap. And they'll throw their hands up in the air and praise the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. It's telling me to love them. And moving forward in the spirit of things. That's inspiration. It's inspiration. It's when you leave this world, you want to leave something behind that actually means something. They will blow through your monetary inheritance so fast you can't even think about it. But if you give them faith, they'll never, ever be the same. So I'm saying this whole thing today is like forgetting everything but Jesus, breathing in the breath of God and knowing that Jesus saves, understanding that Holy Spirit is the one who gives me the modus operandi. He's the one who moves me forward. He's the one who nudges my heart and says, go talk to that person. He's the one who nudges my heart and lets me know there's somebody in this room today who needs a deep, 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 deep relationship with Christ. And they don't even know what that means. And the beauty of it is that you don't have to. You don't have to be where I am to have what I have. Isn't that great? Oh, man. I don't know. I'm excited about it myself. I need an outpouring of Holy Spirit is what I need. Listen, it doesn't mean you're not going to have a momentary lapse. You're not going to go back and it doesn't mean... How can I qualify this? I was always scared to become a believer because I thought I'd have to give up my friends. Or I'd have to give up smoking at the time. That was a long time ago. Or I had to give up, you know, hanging out with these people or doing what I do or thinking what I think and all those things. And the truth is, it has to do with all that. Giving up, surrendering is the step you got to start with. I give up. I don't understand, but I'm taking a step. If you don't, can I just say, you'll leave here today inspired. If this word was, maybe it might get past my silliness and my inabilities and all those things and get down to the fact of knowing who Jesus is and accepting Christ and coming into Him. And if you want to do that today, you can start with that. But if you leave out of here, don't expect just everything's going to go easy and fine now. It's going to be all great and all good because that's not the way this works. In fact, there'll be more challenges for a while until you get your feet on the ground and you get some foundation behind you and you continue to be around people who pour spirit inside of you and pour out Jesus inside of you. And listen, can I just say real quick to the dads and the fathers and the men who maybe are not dads and fathers just yet? This week during, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but it just fits here, so I want to do this. God, help me if this is wrong. This week during prayer service, I was sitting right back there where John is, and I was praying, and I had this vision. And those are words I don't know how to really say necessarily. But the vision was that every man of God in this church, every man in this church was standing right here in front of this building, in front of this altar. This is just a wooden stage, by the way. It just puts me up higher so everybody can see this. I don't even sometimes get uncomfortable with all this. But I saw this front down here just filled with all of our men, shoulder to shoulder. And I prayed a blessing over them. Because I want to tell you something. And here's why. If you change the heart of the men, you see, what we've done in this emasculating, silly, crazy, unbelievable, stupid society is we have taken out the ability for a man to be a man of God. And I'm not talking about just being a man's man and manning up and all. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about a man. It's all right to cry. I hope it is, because I do it all the time. It's all right to be strong if you want to be strong. But here's my point, guys. This message is not about guys, but this vision of mine just had our men, because I love you. And what I wanted to do today, if you will let me, I'm not going to force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. So don't feel comfortable if you don't feel comfortable. But what I wanted to do, and we're gonna say, Michael, what should I do, man? I don't know what to do. Do I just do it now? Let's just do it now. So what I'm going to ask is that if you are comfortable as a man of God to come stand down here with me and just, y'all go ahead and start moving, because if you don't, it's going to take a while. And if you're not comfortable, please do not feel pressure. If you're a guest with us today and this is uncomfortable, I don't want you to feel one iota of pressure on this, okay? I just want to pray a blessing over you. I'm not going to preach to you. Y'all get up in here close, shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to shoulder. Come on in. Let's start a second line right here. Montana, you may have to move back a little bit. Miss Chelsea, I just come on. Y'all line them up down here. Come on. Come on. Turn off the lights. That's the way. Get them all down. By the way, we got blinds out front. We got a darker room. Praise the Lord. We have the light of Jesus. Amen. We filled up. I got a little man down here. I love it. You got some little guys in the room want to come down with dad or uncle or whatever it is. So I wanted to write this out, because I thought if I didn't write this out, I'd miss it. My brothers, listen. Heavenly Father, we come for you today, Lord, lifting these men up in our church, in our community. We ask you, God, to bless them with strength and wisdom and courage to walk faithfully in the calling that you've placed on their lives. May they be men of integrity, honoring you in every decision, every word, and every action, Father. Lord, surround them with your grace. Come on, everybody behind, raise your hands. Raise your arms for these men. Come on. Let's pray around them. Let's intercede together. Lord, surround them with your grace, that they may lead with compassion and love and humility, reflecting Christ in all they do. Lord, equip them to be the spiritual leaders in their homes, their communities, their church. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that they may live boldly for your kingdom and serve others with selflessness and joy. Grant them peace in times of struggle, perseverance in times of trial, and a deep sense of purpose as they strive to follow you. Protect their hearts and their minds against the enemy, Lord, and draw them ever closer to you. We ask that you pour out your blessings upon their lives, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, from head to toe, and help them grow in grace and knowledge of your word. And may their lives, Lord, be a testimony of your love and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, and everybody who agrees, say a big amen right there. Woo! Father, I praise you. I honor you. I give you glory for all good things, Father, for giving that word, for giving this word today. And Lord, I just pray over our entire church. Let's all stand together, guys. I want to pray over you. Come on, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Prayer team, take your places. This is a little backwards to what we planned, but it's okay. Sometimes God flips things upside down. You guys all feel free to go back to your chairs or go to a prayer warrior or be a prayer warrior. If you got something in your heart right now you need to be prayed over, please go and do that. And we're going to end this day with some worship. And we're going to end this day with an opportunity for everybody in the room. Can we just one more time praise God for these guys, man? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that. Again, I told Micah beforehand, I ran the risk of doing that to make this feel like this sermon was aimed toward the men, and it was not. I just had that really strongly impressed on my heart. And I'm learning. just when you sense that of God, it's just to move with it. And now, as we end today, for you guys who are guests, there are people standing around the room. I can't see in the back, but there's people around, even in the back. I'm asking you to go. Step out right now as we worship and just go pray. Everything will be kept confident, right where you are. I promise you that they want to pray with you. And right now, if there's something in your heart that you're sensing you need prayed over, please do not miss this opportunity. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's a problem at work. It could be a sickness that you have, and it could be whatever. They would love and be honored to pray over you. And this is for everybody, all of our guests, anybody that wants to step out and do that. We love you, Father. We praise you, Father, for all that you are. We glorify you, Lord. One thing I ask the Lord for more than anything probably is just that he be present with me, that he be in my life and in my heart, and in times, especially in times of when I don't know what's about to happen, which is a lot. So I'm asking that for you as well, that the Lord be present in your life, and that he fulfill all of it, but especially that he reaches into the recesses of places where no one else knows about, dark spots, that he shines a light on you. I pray a blessing over you today. May God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. I pray that you, as you leave here today, and I, that we all will be the light of inspiration to people around us. Receive. Don't just receive. Go ahead and receive now. And then go pour out. Go release and give it away. Love you guys so much. Thank you for listening so well today. All of our guests, we're glad you're here. We are so glad you're here. Stay around. Let us get to know you a little better. Don't forget, we're going to baptize somebody in just a little bit. I want everybody to stay and witness that and give encouragement. And for all of our partners, remember to tithe before you leave. And that's just for our partners. So, and be back here today at 6 if you're not on the impact team. Be here at 5 if you are. I love you. God bless.